Forum, I will call the meeting to order and begin with item two on the agenda, consideration of the minutes from the December 8th, 2020 meeting. Does anyone have any alterations or proposed amendments to the December 8th minutes? Hearing none, I'll take a motion to accept the minutes of the December 8th, 2020 meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Chairman Sample, second?
Second, Bill Wilmot.
Thank you, Doctor. The minutes are approved. We'll move on to item three, the 2020 annual outside audit. Heather?
Excellent, thank you.
Thank you.
So just to kind of start off, you know, this year was certainly a much different year. The audit was conducted remotely. You know, we used our secure portal to transfer information and held, you know, calls and Zoom meetings, and management was very accommodating through the whole process. We had to, you know, change our approach, really understand how the pandemic impacted the fund this year, how our audit procedures might have had to change based on the different risks at the organization now. And we also had to make sure we understood controls as they function pre-pandemic and post-pandemic. So that was, you know, all included within the audit this year. And I'm just going to go through some of the highlights, some of the letters, and some of the reports. So the first item I'll go through is referred to as the draft AUC 260 letter, which is really just the required communication with those charged with governance. The letter goes on to let you know that management's responsible for selecting appropriate accounting policies. Significant accounting policies are disclosed in your footnotes and footnote number two. The fund did not have to adopt any new accounting policies this year. Anything that they would have had to adopt got postponed with some of the pandemic standards. Your financial statements do include estimates. Some of your most significant estimates are related to your participation in the employee's retirement system. So there's an actuary that the state uses that calculates that number. So lots of estimates within there. You also have an other post-employment benefit, which is the retiree health insurance. That also has an actuary. And then the capital assets of the fund are also considered estimates. So those are pretty significant estimates. You know, we audit those estimates and believe that they are reasonable. There were no difficulties encountered while we were performing our audit. There were no corrected or uncorrected misstatements. So what that means is we didn't propose any journal entries to the numbers. So the information that we were given was the information that we audited. It was materially correct and accurate. Just gives you some confidence that the information that you're getting is appropriate throughout the year. There were no disagreements with management. Management will provide us with a representation letter saying that they've been truthful, honest, and accurate, and provide us with access to whatever information we needed during the audit. There were no other consultations with other accountants that we're aware of. If there were, there was just some additional information that we'd have to make sure they had. There were no other findings for us to address in the audit as well. So that first 260 letter is pretty just standard communication for the fund, so nothing too significant there. The next piece I'm going to go through with you is the actual draft audited financial statements. So on this, we're going to look at the audit report first, which is page one of those draft financial statements. So you've engaged us to audit the financial statements of the fund. We have to alert that the fund is a component unit of the state. Management is responsible for making sure the financial statements are fairly presented in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, and that they have good internal controls in place, that they monitor those controls throughout the year. Our responsibility is to express an opinion. We have generally accepted auditing standards that we have to follow, as well as government auditing standards, because you are a governmental entity. You know, we plan and perform our audit to make sure those financial statements are materially correct. As part of that, we consider the risks within the organization and design our procedures specific to those risks. We also consider your internal controls as part of the audit process. We don't give an opinion on them, but we do consider them and test them in some cases. And we believe that everything that we've done is sufficient to provide a basis for our opinion. And our opinion is up at the top of page two. Lets you know that we believe the financial statements are fairly presented in all material respects in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. So that's a clean opinion, you know, an unmodified opinion, highest level of assurance that we're able to provide. The report goes on to let you know that there is some additional reports or additional statements and schedules that are included in your financial statements. Those schedules are required by various standards. We perform very limited procedures over them, so we don't express any opinion on them. It also alerts you that there is an additional report in accordance with government auditing standards, which we'll go through as well. The financial statements themselves, your management discussion and analysis has a lot of good information in there. You guys are, I'm sure, very well aware of how the 2020 year went. Significant variances in the financial statements are mostly due to reduction in number of races. You increased your holdback from 10 to 50% during 2020. Just a lot of changes related to the pandemic. But the standards themselves didn't change, so there were no new changes to the financial statements themselves. If we were to look at your footnotes, there really isn't any significant change in your footnotes this year. Because there were no new standards, there really wasn't a need to change any information. The only thing that you might notice is there's a new footnote, footnote 2G, which just refers to the potential impact of the coronavirus. So it just alerts the users that, this exists and that it has an impact on the fund and the organization, and that the full impact is certainly unknown at this point. That's pretty much the statements in the footnotes. Like I said, there really isn't any new required disclosures in there, so fairly consistent with the prior year. The other report included in the financial statements is the report in accordance with government auditing standards. So this report goes on to give you some definitions of what some internal controls are, what a deficiency in internal control is, what a significant deficiency material weakness would be. It also lets you know that there are limitations in the work that we perform, but based on the work that we performed, we did not identify any deficiencies that we believe to be a material weakness. So no material weaknesses identified in internal control. If you continue on, it's page 35, if you have a hard copy of the GAO report. We also have to consider the fund's compliance with any significant laws and regulations. So obviously, the fund has to comply with New York State racing laws. One of those laws relates to how much expenditures can be distributed as a percent of revenue. So this year, because of the pandemic, you did have some of your expenditure lines be in excess of what the state law is allowing. So your promotion expenditures are to be distributed not in excess of 6% of revenue, and the administrative expenditures are not to be distributed in excess of 5% of revenue. So you were at 7.5% for promotion and 6.3% for administration. So there's a lot of information in the finding itself. It goes on that, the fund, the real rationale is really the COVID-19 pandemic. The effects of noncompliance are really unknown. You're not sure what the state would do in this situation. And you have a nice explanation from management on what caused this, but since the fund and administration expenditures are over the state statute, there's no state authority that you can really go to request a waiver or anything like that. So that's all included in here. We don't know what the impact is. It's likely not any impact, but because you are over those state prescribed limits, we were required to report that to you and bring that to your attention this year. Okay, so that's the financial statements. The last item that I have for you is your investment report. So this says that you have to comply with certain investment guidelines that are under a certain section 201.3 of the New York State law, and it lets you know that you're responsible for complying with those specified requirements, that our responsibility is to attest to the fact whether you did or did not comply. And our examination isn't a legal determination, but we do believe, in our opinion, that you did comply with all the requirements under the investment guidelines that you're required to comply with. So that is also a pretty standard report on the investment side of things. So that is everything that we have for you. There's no separate management letter with minor recommendations or anything like that to report. So that is everything. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you very much, Heather. Very, very well done. Comprehensive job as always. We really appreciate it. and all your efforts, and again for joining us today and making this presentation. If there are no other questions for Heather, can we have a motion to accept the annual outside audit report for 2020?
So moved.
Sample, second?
I'd be glad to second, but I don't know if I can or not. Richard Ball, I second.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
The audit report is accepted. We'll move on to item four, the February year-to-date. Jill?
Okay. Thank you, Heather. I just want to say that as well. You're free to go.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So, you also have copies. They've been sent a couple times, the February financial report. It's early part of the year, so the only thing I wanted to bring to your attention, the year-to-date for the January and February on page one. Right now, we're looking at our what we had budgeted, and this budget we're using on the February report was the one that was approved back on February 23rd. So the next agenda item might require us to revise this in the future, but just so you know what we're working with here. The revenue turn is so far for the first 2 months is down about $111,000 from what we had budgeted, and about $307,000 less than last year, which is about a 14% decrease right now. The other item, I want the awards that we're paying for the year. If you total the three types of awards, all awards together, are about $50,000 less than what we had budgeted so far and about 86% less than last year. So the awards are down about 5% over last year. And that is, again, probably due to a decrease in number of races and so on. One of the last items, the purse enrichment, again, just bringing your attention to this is using the budget that was back in February. The purse enrichment is currently showing a $500,000 budgeted for the year. Based on the next agenda item, that might be increased, and we'll discuss that coming up. The only other thing I want to bring to your attention is the last page, page 12, which lists the accounts receivable. You will, one of our prior board meetings, we had mentioned how the receivables were very high, the over 90 days, because of the COVID crisis and everybody having cash flow issues. But you'll notice on this last page that right now the only one that's in an over 90 days is the Catskill OTB, and $177,000 of that is in reserve. So really everybody is in good shape. The accounts have been brought, you know, are reasonable at this time, and there's nobody that's really very past due. We're working with everybody. Does anybody have any other comments on the February financial statements or questions?
Thank you, Jill. Why don't you move on to item five, so we'll consider the four and five together.
Okay, great. What we've got here, the next item is the 2021 revised budget worksheet. We met initially a conference call on February 23rd to discuss a revised budget. And after that conversation, there was some additional communication, concerns raised on the purse enrichment. So a second meeting was held by the audit committee and discuss another revision or changes before the board meeting. So what this one is different, the only two items that are different here is you'll see that there was awards adjustment, which are after the award expenses. It's an outline item, and the purse enrichment. So the purse enrichments were increased to $1.5 million. And in order to make us balance our budget, those funds had to be taken out of something. So what that means is we are currently holding a 25% holdback, and this 1.115 as an award adjustment would be, based on our budget, what we anticipate we will need to keep in a holdback. So that would mean that approximately, a 25% holdback of the $14 million would be about $3.6 million. If we had to keep about a million of it, it would mean that in the long run, we'd be paying out approximately 90% of our award. That allows us to continue with the purse enrichment program and balance our budget. So I don't know if there's any other questions on that.
Mr. Chairman, this is John Graziano. I just wanted, when the committee met, it's still early in the year. And I think at that time, it was a bigger question about policy and, bringing that the purse enrichment back up to the original number that we had budgeted because of the commitments we made to the stallion series and to get the stallion owners to commit to, other policy decisions with respect to the mares and other things. So it was very difficult at that time, so early in the year, to actually take a look and try to look at line by line, if there needs to be additional cuts made to try to bring those awards up to the original budgeted number, or if in fact there'll be additional revenues that come in with everything opening up and maybe we don't need to. So I think the committee felt, from a policy standpoint, that it was more important to make sure that we protected that stallion series at NYRA than pay out 100% of the awards at the end of the day if, in fact, we can't make any cuts or the additional revenue doesn't, or if there isn't additional revenue. But at the same time, the committee also committed to taking another look at this, in a couple months to see what has changed and to see how we need to, if we need to adjust the budget again further moving forward. And I'll ask Dr. Wilmot and other people who participated to chime in and let me know if that's accurate.
I think it's really good. Joe McMahon is on the phone, so it's very, very important to the stallion owners, as he can summarize for you.
Well, yeah, I thought we had a really good meeting, John and Bill and Jill, about all that. And I think that we were satisfied that with a rolling type budget that we would review it from time to time this year, and that that I think everybody was satisfied with the answers we got and with the plan for going ahead. So it is really important because the stallion business is very, very difficult. And that said, I think we've got a good plan going forward, and I don't think we should have any problem with it. Bill, what did you think?
This is John Gaziano again. If I could add, that was also done, and Nadja should chime in here, that the Breeders Association also agreed with the position we took. So this wasn't done in a vacuum. They understood that, it was important to revive that stallion series to everybody, so they understand where we're at with this. So I don't know if Nadja wants to add to that. But.
Hi, Mr. Chairman and everyone. This is echoed by John, Joe, and Bill. We have the support of the New York Thoroughbred Breeders in making this change to the purse enrichment. We'll follow along throughout the year, and I expect that we'll be on target. It's important that we protect the Stallion Series Stakes program for our stallion owners and the overall strength of the program overall.
Well, it's great that you all agree with that. It's hard work.
This is Bill.
Dr. Wilmot, did you add something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I agree with everything that said, Mr. Chairman, and that from a, taking a step back, I think it's important that for confidence in the program and from the folks on the outside looking in, that we at the fund continue our commitment that we started to the Stallion Stakes Series. I think it shows strength emerging from the COVID crisis. And as Joe was saying, and John, it's early in the year, and that I think we could be optimistic and feel that the revenue streams will hopefully improve, and that at the end of the day, the actual payout on the awards will be close to 100%. This past year, we were concerned, held back 50%, and Jill and Tracy are about to send out the reserve, and it's going to end up being well over 90% in a really tough year. So I applaud the work of the audit committee and the others involved, and feel that, you know, we moved in the right direction. NYRA is our partner in this industry, and it's important to live up to our agreements with our partners. Thank you.
Agreed. Thank you, Doctor. Well, our next meeting is scheduled for June 1st, but if there is anything that occurs, that any big changes for the better or for the worse that needs us to get together again and to revise this budget, just let me know, and I'll call an emergency meeting. Anything else? Anybody else have any comments or questions about the financial statement or the proposed budget? Then I'll take a motion to approve the financial statements and to adopt the revised budget as presented to us by Jill.
So moved, John Graziano.
Thank you, John. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Chairman. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
The financial statement and the revised budget are adopted. Item six, promotion presentation. Nadja?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to report that NYCB, via its annual promotional contract with the fund, has continued to promote, elevate, and enhance maximum exposure of the New York Fred program. In January, we distributed and published the 2021 New York Stallion Register, and that was distributed to every association member and subscriber in New York, as well as surrounding states, ensuring maximum exposure for our New York Stallions. As well, NYCB monthly publishes the New York Reader Magazine, which is our largest directional promotional tool for the New York Red program. In our issue so far, we've received high readership online and as well print format, and we're able to elevate and promote our program through the magazine format. In addition, NYCB weekly sends a e-newsletter to over 6,000 subscribers across the country, in which we're able to promote our awards offered in the program, promotion of New York Reds, and the entire purse distribution and levels of the New York Red program overall. This also extends to social media, and in the coming weeks, we will focus on our efforts on Derby hopefuls Panadol from Dubai, bred by Chester and Mary Broman, Brooklyn Strong, and as well Nikki the Best, as the latter two will head towards the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct. The NYCB website, nytbreeders.org, is also the key promotional tool in enabling to promote the latest statistics for New York Reds in the program, where we feature daily national entries and results, as well as breeding, racing, sales, and industry news that is original content distributed for the elevation and exposure of the New York Red program. I also wanted to mention that on April 5th, NYCB will also host the annual New York Red Divisional Awards in a virtual format. And via my connections, I was able to secure the services of Richie Migliori to host our online virtual event
at nytbawards.com. We know at the current moment we're unable to meet and have our customary annual dinner in person, so Richard Migliori has been kind enough to reduce his risk through negotiations with me, and we'll host a special virtual online awards that we're excited about, and I think you all will enjoy tuning in to support this year's winners, as well as our Lifetime Achievement Award winners and owners and breeders, Patricia and Frank Generazio, and the recently deceased Ellen Bungard. Lastly, NYTB has focused a advertising campaign within the first 3 months of the year, stressing the change in our mayor residency rules and focusing on a task of targeting New York Reds at sales auction in order to continue to create maximum knowledge of the New York program and awards offered, and which is why, as we just did earlier, in securing the Stallion Stakes Series program so that we do honor our word and draw people and attention to New York. Lastly, two other items I worked on was a series that will be taking place with the Spectrum Capital News. The first series was released in January, featuring Kathy Bearclaw and also Jim Bond, showing the breeding and breeding football side of the New York Racing Program and the New York Bred Program. And we've received some good response, and we'll continue to show those features throughout the year. Focusing on the opening up of the state, we will look to return to our annual showcase days and events on track and sales events, but we will watch to see where we stand with the governor and, of course, the opening up of the racetracks in New York State. If there are any questions, I'm finished, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Nadia. It sounds like you've been very busy and you're well ensconced in your new job. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to working with you for a long time. Any questions for Nadia about his presentation? Yeah, we'll move on.
No. Yep. I just wanted to make a quick comment, Dr. Wilmot here. I agree, Nadia's just doing a great job, but he just had a really nice article printed in the Times Union, which was picked up by the Thoroughbred Daily News, and basically about diversity in the racing industry. I just wanted to give him a shout out and say I think that was very timely and well written and well done. So good job, Nadia.
Thank you.
Yeah, I item number 7, review and consider fund policies. Tracy?
Thank you, John. As you know, all of our fund policies are posted on our website, so if you wake up in the middle of the night and you want to see what they are, you can go to mybreds.com, click on policies, and have a look. So what we do annually for you is we go through all of these policies. We see if anything needs to be updated. We check on phone numbers. If there's a policy on, for example, disposition of assets, if you'll look at that and see if anything needs to be changed. The most recent new policy is the Fund Animal Welfare Policy with Reporting Form, which we worked on in 2019 under the leadership of Jackie Zub and the Governance Committee. And so we didn't have to reinvent the wheel to come up with this. We basically adapted the New York State agriculture rules about reporting animal neglect and abuse and adopted them for our field inspectors, and also came up with forms for them to use if they're out in the field and they come up with something. And the follow-up on that is if they see something, they inform me, then I inform the chairman. The other thing we saw this year, noticed on the code of ethics that last year we forgot to note that it had been reviewed in 2019 and was reviewed and adopted in 2020. So after your review and comments today, we would update that. Does anyone have any comments or see any policy that they think needs work on?
I think it's an impressive document and list of things. Well done.
Thank you, Bill.
Do we need to, Kyle, do we need to adopt the policies again today?
I think the minutes should just reflect that the board, you know, was apprised of the policies that they've been shared with the board. The board has reviewed them, and that the board continues to support them as they in their current form. So
okay,
most of that. The minutes reflect that, right, Kyle?
Yeah, I think maybe a motion to that effect. Right.
Okay. A motion that the policies were considered and will be continued. That okay, Kyle?
I think that's fine, John, for purposes of this. Yeah.
Thank you.
So moved.
We have...
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The policies have been reviewed and continued. Thank you, Kyle, and thank you, everyone. Moving on to number 8, any old business first? Hearing none, any new business?
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to say that in reference to Naja pointing out that he would like to see our industry reach out more to the minorities that we could reach out to, and also the fact that last year one of the things we're required to do under the statute is to encourage the interest among youth in the horse racing industry and agriculture in general. And so maybe Naja, you can help us as we find a little room in our budget with some promotional dollars. Maybe you can help us reach out so we do reach some minority that might have an interest in, growing interest in the thoroughbred industry.
Certainly, Tracy, I would be more than happy to do so.
Thank you.
Good idea, Tracy. Thank you. Any other new business?
Mr. Chairman, this is Bill. Yes, this is something, I guess, that I'd like to us to monitor, and that is one of our inspectors, Tom Reynolds, is considering retirement. He's hinting at it. He hasn't announced it yet, but I think that we should look at that, our policy on hiring, and specifically in inspectors, and consider anyway an RFP where perhaps we could have veterinarians do some of the work. Some of the checking that the mares are at the farm, they're licensed by the state, and it seems to me it would fit in. That would save the fund, certainly the salary and post-employment expenses, as we heard in the audit, although it was a COVID year, we were over both admin and promo. And these increasing salary costs are a burden on the fund. A couple of years ago, we thought we were going to have a couple hundred thousand at the end of the year of surplus to do good things with, and lo and behold, a new Gatsby thing appeared. So that would be something I guess I would like us to think about and look at, and perhaps do differently in business anymore. People are trying to contract stuff more than having additional employees, just the nature of the current thing. And also, I have one other thought, and that is Dr. Patty Flores, Elvis Rage, who was introduced earlier, who's on the phone. I'm thrilled that she's going to be joining us. Her husband, Scott, is on the New York Thoroughbred Breeders Board, and as is my wife, Dr. Joan Taylor. And there was apparently some restriction that went along with Patty's approval. And I would like Kyle and the powers that be to look at that in terms of any voting on New York Thoroughbred Breeders items. And the reason I say that is Dr. Allswein and Dr. Taylor received no compensation from NYTB. Those are, of course, volunteer positions on the board. Jeff always refused himself, as will not for actual budget things, since they are paid employees. And I just would remind everyone of this discussion that there seems to me there's always a movement by the government to try to limit the power and effectiveness of breeder members, but that it was judged to be wise to have them And I would further point out that when Mike McMahon was president of NYTB, and at another point his brother John was on the board, Joe was on the fund board. So this has been a long-standing tradition. It's a small business that we're in, and I think this is unfair, and I would like it looked into. Thank you.
Okay, Bill. I know that we've received some communications from the Gaming Commission. Maybe, Kyle, you could check out and let us know what the restrictions are.
I will. Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay, our next meeting is scheduled for June 1st. If there are no other new business or old business, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you very much. Hopefully, our next meeting, maybe we could be in person. I don't know. But let's keep our fingers crossed. Everyone stay safe, and I'll speak to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.